Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
So one of the things that I really, these days, spend a lot of time doing in my off time, in my downtime, I like to look at pictures of my dad. I like to, you know, my dad passed away a couple of years ago, and I like to look at pictures of dad. My family, we've actually set up a Google Pictures album online on the internet so we can all kind of upload our pictures, and we share that album together so that we can upload the favorite pics that we find to pop, and it's essentially an online scrapbook. And I actually downloaded all of these pictures and made a paper scrapbook for my mom and gave it to her for Christmas this year. These are all pictures that we uploaded for my dad's memorial service when he passed away. His memorial service was April 3rd, 2020. It was on his birthday. He died 4 days before his birthday. And August 3rd, 2020, that's his birthday. And he was born in 1939, lived a great life. My dad was a godly man. I aspire to be like him. He's an inspiration to me. I miss him so much. I was just going through these pictures yesterday in front of my computer, tears coming down my face as I was just remembering. It's part of the grieving process. And I would say that most of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Most of you have someone you've lost that's close. But I like to look at the pictures of my dad because it helps me remember him. It helps me to remember his face, and I actually have on my phone a voicemail from my dad, and I keep it, and I've preserved it because it's wonderful to hear his voice. It's wonderful to hear him say, I love you. But I treasure those pictures. Even more so, I treasure the memories that each of those pictures that are up on the screen, that those pictures represent. Now, I wasn't around when all these pictures were taken. There's one here off to the side to the right of him as a young man. I wasn't around when that was taken, but having those pictures helps me remember and understand who my dad was and still is. Amen. He still lives. They help me treasure up all of the memories and experiences and emotions, and they help me remember who I am. They help me remember who I am and where I came from. They remind me of the godly man that my pop was. And they remind me of his values. And these pictures, they remind me of the impact that he made on other people, including myself. And like I said, sometimes I look at those pictures and I just, I get kind of sucked in and I get all the feels. And many times I find myself looking at those pictures and they help me reflect on what would my dad do in this situation? What would Dad say in this situation? How would Dad handle this situation? And, you know, we've got WWJD, what would Jesus do? And in my mind, in my brain, in my family, we've got WWHD, what would Harv do? What would Harv do in a particular situation? That type of reflection is really, really helpful to me. It helps me grieve. It helps me remember. It helps me move forward. And today I want to continue to talk about how powerful this type of reflection can be in your spiritual walk. Guess what? You came this morning. You're watching online this morning. This sermon is specifically for you, whether you realize it or not. You were just coming to listen in. But I'm telling you this morning, friends, you are participating in this service by listening, and this sermon is particularly for you. This type of reflection can be helpful in our walk with Jesus. If you're a regular here at Maplewood, you know that in 2023, we've been focusing on going deeper with Jesus than we ever have before in our lives. It's what we've been doing since the beginning of the year, and this is the third Sunday of the Lenten season. My question for you would be, how are you doing going deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life? Because I'm telling you, friends, we're about 20 days away from the first quarter of the year being complete. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? The first quarter of 2023 is almost done. The calendar is flying underneath our feet. And my question for you is, how are you doing on this journey, on this challenge this year? What have you specifically done in your own personal walk to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life. Well, Pastor, I've been busy. I get it. We're all busy. Well, Pastor, I'm in the middle of a crisis. I get it. We're all in the middle of crisis. Pastor, I'm helping. I get it. But friends, we all, no matter where we're at in our lives, need to not make excuses. We all need to be striving to go deeper with Jesus than we ever have in our lives. I've been working to equip you every Sunday of this year on how to go deeper with Jesus. I've given you homework assignments. And my question for you is, are you on course in 2023 to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before? Or has the race started and you find yourself still at the starting line with the stalled car? How are you doing, church? I'm checking in this morning. How are you doing on going deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life? Since we turned the calendar back in January, we've been focused on Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I think I'm setting a record here. I think I'm on week 13 of preaching from the same passage. And that's not because I'm lazy. That's because I really feel that there's so much to unpack in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In order to go deeper with Jesus, we need to each personally experience a renewing of our minds. That means we need to unlearn the way we've been thinking. We need to unlearn harmful and damaging ways that our minds have been conformed to by the patterns of this world. And we should be, church, intentionally working on retraining our minds how to think. Retraining our minds how to think. Why? Because you are what you think. I want you to say that with me again this morning. You are what you think. I'm going to flip it this morning. I am what I think. Say it with me. I am what I think. Some of you are about lunch right now. Some of you are about a nap right now. Right? It's daylight savings time. I am what I think. You are. So how do we retrain our minds? How do we renew our minds? How do we break this jello mold that the world has used to conform our minds and taught us how to think? One of the things we've talked about is confronting the lies that we tell ourselves. And we spent several weeks confronting lies that we tell ourselves. And another thing that we've been focused on more recently is how to retrain our minds how to think. One powerful strategy to retrain our minds on how to think is through biblical meditation. Biblical meditation. Meditating on the Bible. I'm not talking about New Ageism. I'm talking about meditating on the Scriptures and allowing our time thinking intentionally about the Scriptures to reshape how we think. Many ways to approach biblical meditation. And as your pastor, I'm trying to equip you with different models. Last week we talked about the David model, right? We talked about leveraging nature to get you closer to God and to get you to focus your mind on the things of God. And today, I want to take a few moments to talk about another method. Another method that may ring true for you. I think it rings true for every follower of Jesus. It is the Mary method of biblical meditation. And it encourages us to follow the pattern that Jesus' own mother used. Jesus' own mother used this method to meditate on her son. In Luke chapter 2, we know the Christmas story. You're like, Pastor, it's almost St. Patrick's Day and you're telling Christmas stories. What's this? Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it's the tail. It's the tail end of the Christmas story. We're in Bethlehem, the manger. There's a tiny baby in swaddling cloths. The shepherds have just left, and they're going out and telling everybody about this child that they found. The angels had sung to the shepherds. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, the Scripture tells us that Mary, she treasured up all of these things in her heart, and she pondered on them. Mary treasured up all of these things, and she pondered on them, all the different things about the arrival of this Christ child, leading all the way back to that day when the angel told her that she was going to bear the Son of God who was going to save the entire world, save all of humanity. Mary treasured up all of these things in her heart, and she pondered on them. Fast forward. We're going to hit the fast forward button. 12 years into the future. Same chapter. 12 years into the future. The setting, Jerusalem. Jesus' bar mitzvah. It's when Jesus was confirmed at the age of 12 years old. That had to be what was happening when they were in Jerusalem at that time at the temple. They spent a lot of the time during the festival at the temple. And Jesus, we get the picture of Jesus. Not only is he being confirmed as a young man, but there he is in the temple. He's teaching the teachers with authority. This young man teaching the teachers with authority. Mom and dad pack up to leave to go back home. 3 days later, they figure out that Jesus isn't in the car. What kind of parents are they? We got to go back and we got to find this kid. And so they go back and they find Jesus in the temple teaching the teacher. Jesus tells mom and dad, "Didn't you know?" It's like a total teenager thing. Duh. Mom and dad, duh. "Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house?" Luke 2, verse 51. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Again, we see Mary, the mother of Jesus, treasuring all these things in her heart. Church, to meditate like Mary is to spend intentional time meditating on the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's what Mary did. Now, we're not going to talk about worshiping Mary this morning. We don't do that in our faith. There's a lot of different statuses that different faiths give to Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus, and she sets a pattern for us on how to meditate on her son. Elmer Towns is actually the author who's inspired a lot of these sermons that I've been preaching to you over the past couple of weeks about meditation. Great book. It's called Spiritual Meditation for or Biblical Meditation for Spiritual Growth. If you want a copy of it, I'll get it to you. Great book. But Elmer Towns writes in that book, "As you know Jesus, so you follow Jesus. As you know Jesus, so you follow Jesus." Let that sink in for a moment. As you know Jesus, so you follow Him. That's pretty, pretty powerful. Looking at the world today, looking at the church today, if you just kind of look at what's going on in our society, I think it's very obvious that there are many people who claim to be Christ followers, but they really haven't taken a lot of time to get to know the real Jesus. Amen. Claim to be a Christ follower. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But you can tell by their words. You can tell by their actions. You can tell by their attitude that they really don't know the real Jesus. You all know about my dad. He was just up on the screen here. You all know about my dad, but you only know based on what I've told you, right? He visited here a couple of times through the years before he passed away. But you basically know my dad based on what I've told you. You know about him, but you don't know my pop the way I know my pop. And so the stories that I ponder and the stories that I treasure up about my dad hold much less, if any, value to all of you. As a matter of fact, I opened up with that story this morning. You might go, "Oh, wow, it's Pastor Joe's dad. Don't really care. Not very invested." Maplewood, can I ask you a tough question this morning? I've already asked you one. Boy, you're like, "Pastor, come on." This is an uncomfortable question for some of us. Do you really know Jesus personally? Or do you only know about Him? I'm talking to you. Do you know Jesus personally? Or do you only know about Him? Is your knowledge of Jesus based on a personal relationship that you have with Him? Or is it based on maybe what you've heard from others? Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa? Riding their coattails. My grandpa was a great Christian. I'm a Christian. My grandpa was. I am too. Is it based on what you've heard from others? Maybe it's based on what you've read in a book. That's great. Reading Christian books, that's awesome. Maybe what you know about Jesus is what you heard from a sermon. I come to church every Sunday. I know about Jesus, Pastor. Pastor Vicky, she's doing the story of Jesus. I can even sing the song with the sign language. I know about Jesus. Mary had a lifelong personal experience with Jesus, not only as his mother, but as a follower of Christ. Mary, his mother, she had this lifelong personal relationship with Jesus. She knew personally who her son was. She knew who he was before he did because God let her in on it. She raised him up. And not only did she know who her son was, but she believed in who her son was. You want evidence of that? Just look at her. Go to John chapter 2. There's this wedding in Cana. And in the midst of a crisis, I mean, they're at the banquet. They run out of wine at the wedding. This is like a social catastrophe for the family that's hosting the wedding. And in the midst of this crisis, Mary knew her son so well, she pushed him into action. Come on! He's like, Mama, stand down. It's not my time. And she's like, da-da-da-da-da. She just goes over to the people and says, just do what he tells you to do. Only a mother could do that to Jesus. But we all know how that goes. She believed in him. She pushed him into action. She directed others to follow him. That's what followers of Jesus do. We know him so well personally that we can pray prayers of intercession and he moves when we pray. Amen? Amen. Prayers that he answers. And we know him so well personally that the way we live our lives, it just simply directs other people to follow him. The authority of the way that we live our lives just directs other people so that I want to follow him too. I want some of that. So how do we get to know Jesus? What is unique about the Mary method of biblical meditation? First of all, I think we need to understand what it really means to ponder something or to treasure up something. And I got my old buddy Spanky McFarland here this morning helping us out today. What does it mean to ponder something? You know, we say those words, Mary treasured these things up. She pondered them. But I don't think we really stop and give credence and give our attention to what that possibly could mean. To ponder something means to intentionally set some time aside to remember. To intentionally set some time aside to remember. We see in the scriptures multiple times here, Mary took the time to remember and reflect on the life of her son. She didn't have pictures, she didn't have Google pictures like we do to upload to the cloud. But she had memories, and maybe she had artifacts from his growing up years, maybe a belt, maybe a sash, maybe his first saw as a carpenter, his first hammer or something like that. She had artifacts, and she had memories that she could mentally scrapbook. To ponder, church, is to take some time and remember. Just to take some time and remember. Mary had a front row seat to the birth, the life, the growing up, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. She was probably a key eyewitness who provided information to Matthew and to Mark and to Luke and to John about things that happened in Jesus' life. Things only she knew. I mean, how else could we get the description of the Christmas story? Mary was the one who was there. She had to tell Luke about the trip to Elizabeth's house. She was an eyewitness, providing tidbits, insights, memories of Jesus' life. How else would they have known? Their writing, their journaling of Jesus' life, it serves to preserve Mary's memories of her part of that story. To ponder is to remember. To ponder is also, it means to separate out things for examination. You know, there's a lot of Jesus stories to separate, right? There's a lot. Pastor Vicky's doing one a week, which I love. I like comic books. I'm a 52-year-old man going on 53, and I love comic books. Amen? Anybody else out there? Yeah, Matt McAbee's raising his hand. Chuck Ryder likes comic books. You know, I haven't purchased an actual paper comic book for decades, but I have a box full of comic books that I purchased and collected as a young man in a shelf at my house, in my office. And you know what I do sometimes on an afternoon that's slow? I will take out that box of comic books, and I will take out one or two, and I will examine it, and I will read it, And I will examine it separately. There's a big box. There's a lot of comic books there. But I'll just take one, and I'll read it. I'll examine it, and it just brings back memories. I remember when I bought that comic book. I remember the story. I remember how it felt. Those things bring back memories from my youth. They make me feel young. I remember by taking those things out separately, they bring back memories and emotions. They make me feel like a young man again. I also like to journal, and I've done this habitually throughout my adult life. I'm a writer by trade. I write, and so I keep personal journals. I've had handwritten. I have typed on the computer. I was in our storage space about 3 months ago, and I found one of my old journals from about 2002. 20 years ago, 2002, and I found a journal. And I opened up this journal. It was full of writings. I mean, it was chock full of my handwriting. And man, I tell you what, even back then, I didn't have good handwriting. But I opened a page, and I examined a single entry. And it was about my grandfather's funeral. It was about my grandpa Billheimer. My grandpa Billheimer, and I examined that single journal entry, and I remembered that day through that writing. I like to capture things like that in detail in the moment, because later in the future, it helps me to remember factually what happened. I examined that single entry, and it moved me, and it helped me, and it encouraged me. And my heart was touched by the memory of my grandfather. I took the time to ponder by just reading that single journal entry. I separated it from all the other stuff, and I just examined it, and I let it speak to me. I compared it to a couple of others. In the same way, we can examine the individual stories of Jesus' life and inspect them for meaning and for inspiration and for encouragement, maybe for direction. And church, it's not enough for you to do it when you just come here on Sunday when Pastor Vicky reads to you with pictures up on the screen. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to adopt this habit. And you can take these stories, and you don't have to read them all at once, but take them, compare them to one another, find the golden threads that pull these stories about the life and the death of Jesus together. And once we understand what it means to ponder something, once you understand what it means to ponder, now you're ready to engage in the Mary method of meditation. So here's a few really quick, simple steps. Mary meditation. Set aside some time to simply meditate on the life of Jesus. Okay? I'm just giving you simple directions. This is not brain surgery this morning. Read, take some time between now and Easter, church. This is your assignment. Are you writing this down? Take some time between now and Easter to read one of the Gospels. One of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you can pick whichever one you want. Mark's the shortest, by the way. Pick one. Take some time to intentionally meditate on the life of Jesus. Read one of the Gospels. Revisit the details of His birth. I think it's really cool, as we lead up to Easter Sunday, to read the Christmas story. Focus on the birth of Jesus. Read about His upbringing. Reflect on His ministry and His teachings. You don't have to do it all at once. Give yourself some time. There's a lot of days between now and Easter Sunday. Pick a story here or there. Maybe a parable. Maybe an interaction Jesus has. Examine it. Let it speak to you. Meditate on the life of Jesus. Second thing that you do when you meditate the way of Mary, take some intentional time. And this is a great time of year to do this. Take some intentional time to meditate on the story leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. They call it the Passion of Christ. And part of Lent, part of this Lenten season, is to focus us on what Jesus has done for each and every one of us, for the sacrifice that He has made. You know, we spend too little time focusing on the price that was paid for our salvation. We spend too little time focusing on the suffering that was experienced, the blood that was spilled. The Passion story is really messy. It's kind of rated R. You know, it's very graphic. Spend some time. Read the story of the Passion. And this is my assignment for you this year. Take some time. particularly the week between Palm Sunday and Easter, take some time to specifically read all four gospel accounts of the passion, the trial of Jesus when he was betrayed, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion. Take some time to focus on those stories. We need to know, folks, the price that was paid for us. Reflect on his teachings that week, on his betrayal, and on how he handled himself every step of the way. Observe Jesus and how he handled himself through that persecution. Understand the love that motivated him to go through with it. And take some time to rejoice in the reality of his resurrection. Because, yes, it's a horrible, awful, rated R story, but it's got a great ending. Rejoice in the reality of his resurrection and rejoice in what that means. So you're taking some time, the Mary method, take some time to meditate on the life of Jesus. We're taking some time to meditate on the passion of Jesus. And this is where we really bring it home. The third thing that we do when we meditate like Mary is we revisit our own personal relationship with Jesus. Take the time to revisit your own conversion experience, your story. And this is where it gets personal. Where did Jesus become more than just a story to you, church? What moment in time did Jesus become more than just a story to you? When did you become part of history, his story? When did you enter into that story? Where did it happen? Can you recount the details of when you were converted? Who was there? How has that moment in time changed the trajectory and tone of your life? When we meditate like Mary, we take the time to meditate not only on the life of Jesus, but our personal relationship with him. Up on the screen here, this is a picture of the former Troy First Church of the Nazarene, Canal and Mulberry Street in Troy, Ohio, about 30 minutes from here. I just took this picture off of Google Maps yesterday. So if you go over there, the Troy Church of the Nazarenes moved to a different location since I was a child, but I remember it was in this church, at the altars in this church. As many times as a child, I came to the altar. I responded to altar calls as a child, convicted, felt the move of the Spirit in my life. But I remember, I can't remember exactly the day, but I remember I was 11 or 12 years old. I was in middle school, and I remember giving my heart to Jesus specifically on a Sunday night on the altar on the right-hand side of the church. I was kneeling there. Chuck Milhuff was the evangelist. It was a Sunday night revival service. And little Joey Case, I wasn't so little at that point in time, but I gave my heart to Jesus. That was when I gave my heart to Jesus. And it's changed my life. There have been ups and downs at certain points in my life. I've run and I've come back. But that is the moment when I chose Jesus as my personal Savior. I chose to accept that what he did on the cross, what he did in his story, wasn't just for humanity in general. But that's when it became personal for me. What's your story, church? What's your story? Reflect on your story. Do you have a story? Because let me tell you right now, if you don't have a story, it can begin here this morning. Today can be the day that you nail it down and say, what Jesus did on the cross, he did for me. Mary's model of meditation, it creates a way for us to focus our minds on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And just like I enjoy going through those pictures of my dad, my electronic scrapbook, the Gospels provide us a scrapbook of the life of Jesus that can help us on our journey. Spending time and meditating on the person of Jesus, we don't do enough of it today. We're too busy asking questions about creationism and when's Jesus coming back to really focus on the person of Jesus, who he is, and what he can do in our lives right here, right now. Amen. Those are important questions, don't get me wrong. But sometimes I think we focus on those issues so that we don't have to confront the reality that we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus in the first place. We get so caught up on all that stuff, on minor issues, that we have forgotten that the major issue we need to deal with is this personal relationship with Jesus. Spending time meditating on His life, powerful way to help us reform and reshape and renew our minds. It takes an investment in your time, church. It takes an investment of your attention. It takes an investment of your intention. You have to be willfully doing this. Nobody's going to do this for you. You own it. And you're going to be held accountable for it by Him. And it requires a personal relationship with Jesus. But the payoff is so worth it.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. Or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.